together. Let's pour it out to him, Lord. Hallelujah, that's it. Pour out that praise because you're worthy, God. You're worthy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank the Lord for his spirit that is here. You may be seated. In addition to being a necessary part of the initial salvation process, the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, also plays out in our lifestyle. It's one of the reasons we say that the Holy Ghost is an experience. It's not just a religious ritual or a dogma of a denomination. The Holy Ghost experience is a real and a living experience because it relates to us, it interacts with us, and it's involved in our everyday living. I want to preach for a few moments this morning on what the Spirit can do, what the Holy Ghost does and has the potential to do in our lives. Who is the Holy Ghost? We know that God is manifested to us in three main identities or manifestations. The Father. He's the Father in a parental relationship to us as humans. He's the Father or the originator of all creation. And then when we receive the Holy Ghost, he is the Father of us as born-again believers. And of course, he is the Father of the Son. He comes to us as the Son, which is God in flesh. The Son is God manifested in the flesh, whose name is Jesus. And then the third identity or manifestation of the Almighty God is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is God in spiritual activity. It is the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we say that phrase and may not think too much about it. It's so familiar, and thank God it is familiar to us. But it's Holy Spirit because holiness is the basis of God's nature. He is holy. The Holy Spirit is God himself. Son is God. Father is God. Holy Ghost is God. Three manifestations, but the same God. That's who the Holy Ghost is. I do this sometimes in error. I try to catch myself, but sometimes I will say it in referring to the Holy Ghost. Well, really, it's not an it, it's a he. It's not a separate portion away from God, or not some tool that God has given to us. It is God himself. Now, what is this Holy Ghost experience? We know who he is. Now, what is this Holy Ghost experience? What do we mean when we say we have received the Holy Ghost? What does the Bible say when it talks about someone receiving the Spirit of God? Well, the Holy Ghost, probably in some of the simplest terms, the Holy Ghost is God within. Now, the Holy Ghost does mean speaking with tongues. It does mean power, it does mean peace or righteousness or joy, or it does mean holiness. And there may be even outward expressions and demonstrations when we talk about receiving the Holy Ghost. There may be tears, some were crying and basking in the presence of God when they received him. There may be laughter, there may be praising him, there may be what we call shouting or jumping or running perhaps or falling and laying prostrate before the power and the presence of the Lord. All of that can be part and parcel of the Holy Ghost experience. But in the simplest terms, The true essence of what the Holy Ghost is God within. The reason this can help us is because it will help our focus. When we seek the Holy Ghost, we are not seeking tongues. When we seek a manifestation or a move of the Holy Ghost, we are not seeking goosebumps which may come to our physical body. We are not necessarily seeking tears or jumping or shouting. We are seeking, and then we are being moved upon, not only by those emotions, but we are being moved upon by God. The focus is God. So if you want a Holy Ghost experience for the first time, and I know there are some here that would want that, there are whether you want it for the time after time after time, once again, you have received it previously, but you want it again. If you want that, focus on God. Just think to yourself, I want you within me, God. That's why I want the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Or I want your manifestation. That's what I'm meaning when I say I want the manifestation or the work of the Holy Ghost. Now, here's what the Holy Ghost can and will do. It's God's intention, and we have scripture for all of these. The Holy Ghost spiritually regenerates a life. When created, humanity had a relationship, a special one with God. But when Adam and Eve sinned, that relationship was corrupted and changed. It was destroyed. God loved us so much that he created a plan to restore that relationship. The new birth experience of repentance, water baptism in Jesus' name, and the receiving of the Holy Ghost and walking and living by the Spirit is that restoration, regenerating plan. That's why we say the Holy Ghost regenerates. Paul explains our former corrupted state when he writes to Titus. For we ourselves were also, listen to this description of what our spirit and what our life was like. He said, we were foolish, we were disobedient, we were deceived, we were serving various lusts and pleasures that were not godly, we were living in malice and envy, we were hateful, and we were hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. We have the Holy Ghost, not because we earned it, but because of the mercy of God. We have the Spirit of God because of his mercy. It's in his mercy that he gifts us with the Spirit. Then he says, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That word regenerate and renew means a rebirth or a renovation. Before this, spiritually, we were lacking and deficient of eternal life, eternal purpose. And we may appear on the outside to be good, wholesome human beings. But the person you can't see, the inner person, our spirit, is without God corrupt and sinful and decrepit and missing the mark, as Paul writes, of what God intended for us to be. That's another reason we need the Holy Ghost, for the regenerating power that it has. If your life has not been as yet regenerated, if you have not been filled with the Holy Ghost and power, this regeneration is for you, and it's for whosoever will, and every one of us need it. Now, this generation is what Jesus was talking about to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, except a man be born again, except he have that new birth, except that regenerating power of the Holy Ghost comes into his life, he cannot see. He cannot see the kingdom of God. You know, that does not only mean see it visibly, but see it conceptually. In other words, without the Holy Ghost, a person does not fully comprehend everything in the kingdom of God or God's intention. And then he repeats in verse 5 and even amplifies that explanation. He said, except a man be born of the water, water baptism, and be born of the Spirit, the regenerating Holy Ghost, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You know, close enough is not enough. I'm thankful for everybody that is close to the kingdom of God, are close to receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But Jesus wanted us to know, without the Spirit, without that regeneration of that inner decrepit spirit in us that was corrupted by sin, we cannot make it to heaven by ourselves or by our good works. Paul said it wasn't by our good works, but by his mercy. Marvel not, Jesus said, that I say you must be born again. The Spirit gives birth or generates new life, and a person is totally changed. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The literal word is creation. When you received the Holy Ghost, you became a new creation in God's sight. Now, to all of us, we appeared the same way physically. But you see, the Holy Ghost is not just a physical experience. There may be those physical attributes of tears or laughter or great emotion of joy, but that's not the true essence. The true essence of the Holy Ghost is our spirit is regenerated and changed. And he said, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, how many things? All things. God works in every area of our life. What the Holy Ghost can do is work in every area of a person's life, including you and including me. Anyone who belongs to him becomes a new person. All things are become new. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you are changed spiritually. You are changed emotionally, inwardly. You are changed mentally in how you think, and you can be changed physically. There are those outward demonstrations. I told somebody earlier, this is a Holy Ghost church. I'm glad this is a Holy Ghost church. I'm glad it is a church that believes in the manifestation of the Spirit and what the Spirit can do. When we receive the Holy Ghost, we are receiving God within. So no wonder we are changed. Because when we receive the Holy Ghost, we are changing, are changed to be like him. When we receive, that's the reason the Holy Ghost experience is a big deal. We must not move away from emphasizing the experience of the Holy Ghost. And I know in the day and age in which we live, there are some that still do talk about trust and faith in God. They may talk about repentance, and they may talk about some form of baptism. But it's all important to have all of those, and including the power of the Holy Ghost. Because what the Spirit wants to do is regenerate your life. And I want to light a candle in somebody's life today. If you feel in the darkness, from the darkness of your past, that you cannot be changed, and you cannot be different, and some of those things that are not right could never be changed in your life, I preach the Holy Ghost is a regenerating power. God can regenerate your life. And thank you for that response. Many who are responding have been changed. I just want somebody to know it can be a new creation for you. I feel somebody's desperation right now. I feel the burden of somebody that feels like your past is too great, but it is not too great. All things become new. That's what the Spirit can do. That's what the Spirit can do. And then Paul tells us something else the Spirit can do in Ephesians 1. He's talking about God. He said, in whom you also trusted. After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. It was preaching that included the power of the Holy Ghost. In whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed. Would you say that word sealed with me? You were sealed. Do it again. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Ghost seals. The Bible talks about he's given us the earnest. What we have and what we're enjoying. And I thank God for his presence that I feel here today. And oftentimes we say, man, that was a powerful move of the Spirit, a powerful move of God. But here's some good news. If this that we have, when we worship God and we feel God, if this is just the earnest, that word earnest there means just this is just the down payment. Woo! The other part's coming one day. That may be one of the reasons we're going to need a new body, because this one has trouble. Woo! I feel the freedom of the Holy Ghost. This one has trouble a little bit keeping up with the Spirit. You're out of shape like some of us are. You start breathing heavy when you start preaching heavy. Or worshiping heavy. This body, and we do need to take better care of them, I know that. Lesson learned. Lesson being learned. But God gave us just the earnest. If this is just the earnest, that night you felt the power and the trembling power of the Holy Ghost, and it was awesome. It was as powerful as it can get. We say, that's just the earnest. But he said, I've given you the earnest of the Spirit, and that's enough to seal you. That word seal was meaning to identify. You know, they used the wax seals in those days, and the king would put the imprint of his ring upon that, and it had some kind of insignia on it of the nation or the person, the king, that identified when he touched that seal. You knew that whatever it was, belonged to the king. It was also used to seal the tomb of Jesus. The Bible says they sealed the tomb. That was to keep him in, they thought, or to seal up or to stop any outside intruder from coming in to that seal. Well, the Holy Ghost seals us. Listen, we're going to live this out in our lives, and many of you already have. But I feel God giving us a special and a new insight and understanding and revelation, because the Holy Ghost is not just a Sunday Holy Ghost. Because God made Monday, he made Tuesday, he made Wednesday, he made Thursday, he made Friday, he made Saturday, as well as he made Sunday. He's an everyday God. So if God is the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost is God, we have an everyday experience with him. You're sealed when you go to work tomorrow. You're sealed when you go home today. You're sealed when you face whatever it is that you may be going to face this week. You know, we do that. I wanted to make sure, especially when I was younger, and I still try to take care of it, my ball glove. I want my name on that thing. And don't be carrying it off. You can use it if you're on the opposite team, but don't be carrying off my ball glove. I got my name on it. Now, there's a professional ball player that has his name on it. He made a lot of money to get it, and I spent some money to get it. But you put your name on lockers and sometimes on clothing because you want to keep what belongs to you. God wants to keep what belongs to him. And with the Holy Ghost, he seals you. He puts his name on you. That's why water baptism is so important. He puts his name on you. And that way, when anything tries to come and rob you or anything out of your life, the Lord's name is there. Said, she belongs to me. It may be this week God's going to have to say to something, hey, he belongs to me. And if something threatens you this week, if something intimidates you, a spirit or a person, you just know this, what the spirit can do is seal you. It confirms and it attests it belongs to the master. And the Holy Ghost protects also. The sealing is like a sealing of a door which can block the intrusion of wind or water or rain that try to come through underneath the door or alongside the frame. Elements that could damage, a seal will stop those things. The Holy Ghost. Hear me now. This is why we're not afraid to leave the church building, and we're going to have any less power than we have when we're in here. The same power that is in you here is in you at home or wherever you go. The Holy Ghost is not a church building experience. We're glad it happens in the church building. But the Holy Ghost is a seal every day and in every hour and every circumstance of your life. It protects us against things getting into our hearts and minds that would corrupt us. When an entry door is sealed, it can stop the enemy and an intruder that wants to come into your life. Listen to what Isaiah wrote. So they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Ghost. When is this far, Isaiah? Your day? Yes, for his day, but also for our day. This will work for you on Tuesday when you're facing something. This will help you on Wednesday or Thursday or any other time in the darkness of the night when floods of thoughts try to come in your mind. What am I going to do? How did I end up like this? How is this going to work out? Oh God, how are you going to save their soul? How are you going to save them? And how are you going to maintain that marriage and that relationship? When those flood of doubt and fear comes in, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard, a flag, a banner against him. And when he plants that banner and that standard, he plants it right beside you and is saying, they belong to me. That's my emblem. They're of my nationality. They've been born of my spirit. I say to you this week, please, please do not limit your experience to only when we're here worshiping God. But it's the same everywhere. The Holy Ghost is the same everywhere. Don't misunderstand me. I'm so glad that it is here. I'm not demeaning any move of the Spirit. In fact, we're having one today. We're going to have one this afternoon in Spanish. We're going to have one tonight in the service because the Holy Ghost is real and we're going to let him move. But it can happen in your life, directed and governed by his Spirit, so that we do not corrupt ourselves, our minds. Folks, isn't there a lot of stuff out there that would try to corrupt us? I tell you what the Holy Ghost does. It can seal us. Now the Holy Ghost doesn't blind us. Although sometimes maybe he keeps us from seeing some things or knowing some things that would discourage us. But the Holy Ghost doesn't blind us. It won't blind you if there's a tempting ad that comes up via the internet. It won't blind you, but it'll seal you. Or any other form of temptation that might try to come. He won't blind us or stop us, but he will seal us. And we'll have a checking of the Spirit. And we will say, no, I belong to God. I'm not living by those lusts. I'm not living by the power. I'm going to tell you, this Holy Ghost is in every practical area of our life. We would get in trouble if we compartmentalized life. Say, okay, the Holy Ghost is for the compartment called church services, Sunday, Wednesday, or whatever time we're gathering. But then the rest of our days, we're just uncovered and unfilled. But no, we are filled every day. We are covered every day. We are empowered every day. It stops You know, they used to, ladies, and some still do a lot of canning. And so to preserve the fruit or to preserve the vegetables, they seal the jar to stop the decay. The Holy Ghost will stop the corruption and the decay of our spirits, of our minds. I just feel to address, if somebody is being tempted by the lust of this world or to do something that is out of the plan and violates the plan and the holiness of God, pray the Holy Ghost and yield yourself to the Holy Ghost, because it will stop the decay and the destruction and the rottening of our spirits. It will keep us, our spirits, our minds, and our bodies. This Holy Ghost is good. And I don't know about you. Yes, I do know about you. We all need the Holy Ghost in that regard. I'm not asking for this, but if I asked for a show of hands, probably 99.9% of us would have to lift our hand that in some form or manner we were tempted this week. Tempted to do something wrong or say something wrong or look at something that was wrong. Temptation. My mama used to say, temptation is like the birds that fly in the air. You can't keep them from flying over your head, but you can keep them from making a nest in your hair. Temptation is not wrong. Yielding to that temptation is wrong. But when that temptation flies by, there's a seal of the Holy Ghost. I could say, you're not coming in here. This jar has been sealed. I'm not talking like that. I'm not looking like that. I'm not acting like that. I'm not speaking like that. The Holy Ghost is a seal, and we all need that seal upon our spirits, our minds, and our bodies, so that we do not corrupt our minds, our spirits. Our families need the seal of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, parents, for praying the Holy Ghost over your children and your family, your physical house. Pray the seal of the Holy Ghost. And if we will allow Him, He will lead. One of the blessings of the Holy Ghost is that He is willing to govern. Who's your governor? Praise God. Jesus. The Holy Ghost. He's willing to govern, direct, and control our lives. You know, it's wonderful to be regenerated by the Holy Ghost. It's wonderful to be sealed with the Holy Ghost. It's a blessing to be in His Spirit. We can be inspired and blessed when the Spirit moves upon us. But then there's that all important where it lives out in our life, being controlled by the Holy Ghost. Here's what Paul said in Romans. Let not sin therefore reign. Don't let sin be the governor or the controller in your mortal bodies, so that you would obey it and you would be controlled by it in the lust thereof. You know why people are doing such strange and sinful and wrong things? Because there's a governor sitting on their throne. And it is not the holy Lord God. But it's the lust of the flesh. Or it may be the devil himself. But verse 13. Do not yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, to the control of sin or the devil. But yield yourselves unto God. There's a key phrase there. Yield yourself. God doesn't come in and grab us by the nape of the neck and say, all right, I'm controlling you. But it's a yielding of our spirit. There's a yielding of our life and our will to Him. Yield yourself, He said, to the control of God as those that are alive from the deadness of sin. And yield your members as instruments that will supply and do righteousness. Don't you know, He said, verse 16, to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants you are. That's who controls you, whether it's sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But He said in Romans 8, the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh. The word walk there talks about our everyday lifestyle. There is not a moment or a step of the day when the Holy Ghost is not with us. So He talks about walking, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh mind the things. They're controlled by the desires of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, here's what it can do. It can help us to be controlled by the Spirit, and we will obey the things of the Spirit. It will govern our life. That's what the Spirit can do. I'm glad the Holy Ghost is more than a few moments or even a few hours of speaking in other tongues. Now, it is exactly that, and the Bible says that's the initial evidence, and everybody that has the Holy Ghost speaks with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives them the utterance. They will do that initially, and they will do that throughout their prayer life and throughout their walk with God. But the Holy Ghost does more than that. It will lead and guide us. We're led by the Spirit of God, Paul said in one place. Here's what the psalmist asked the Lord. It's a good request that we all can and should pray. He asked the Lord, teach me to do your will, Lord, for you are my God. Your Spirit is good. Lead me. Many of you have had experiences where you know you were led by the Holy Ghost. And then there were many times that we didn't know we were being led by the Holy Ghost. And we look back, and sometimes we will even say, I don't know why I decided that. I don't know why I said that. I don't know why I did that. You know, preachers can get in trouble. This is the main one right here. We can try to figure it out and try to think I need to say it this way, or I need to just stay with what I've got written. And that's a pretty good idea most of the time. But then there's sometimes you just say stuff you didn't know you were going to say. Or you just do something in your life, or you make a decision you didn't plan on making. But it was the leading of the Holy Ghost. Lead me into the land of uprightness. I encourage everybody in here throughout your days and throughout the weeks, pray that prayer of the psalmist. Lead me, Lord. Your Spirit's good. Lead me. The Holy Ghost will lead you. The Bible's Jesus said this in John 16. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will show you the way. Now, often we refer to this verse as though it means somebody that needs to come to the fullness of truth. Perhaps they're a bit undecided of whether there is one God or multiple gods. We believe the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, will lead them into all our completeness of truth. Or maybe they're unsure of the necessity of receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or in question about whether or not they really have. But here's what the Holy Ghost will do. And sometimes he works through a preacher like this one. Sometimes he speaks to us through his word as we're reading. He can come in many different forms and manifestations. But always the Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. So if you're praying for somebody, pray the Spirit that he would lead them. And he wants to. That the Holy Ghost, that they will allow the Holy Ghost. It's not so much a matter of the Holy Ghost wanting to lead. He said, I want to lead them. It's all a matter of yielding ourselves to the control, yielding ourselves to the thought of the Spirit. But I believe this also not only means people that are fresh coming to God or fresh coming to the revelation of who God is, the oneness of God, or the salvation, new birth experience. But all of us who already have the Holy Ghost, I want to preach to us for a moment. That all truth, you know, there's more truth. We need to know the truth about what decision to make. We need to know how to handle a situation. Well, that promise is that Spirit of the Holy Ghost will guide you into everything that is true. Every decision that is right. And if you are on the brink of a decision, I speak by the authority of the Holy Ghost into your knowledge and a revelation and insight to you. The Holy Ghost wants to lead and guide you. And not only does he want to, he will lead and guide you. I seal you from confusion because of all of the varied options that there are in that decision-making process. And I was talking to somebody just yesterday. It was complex. I mean, it was a big decision. And there were several factors. And I was kind of scratching my head within my mind. I was scratching my head. It was a hard thing to answer. But here's what I know. The Spirit of the Holy Ghost Hear me. Do not be distracted today. Do not let that rob you of a good week or a good day. The Holy Ghost is going to lead you, child of God, into all truth and how to look at or how to handle that situation. That's what the Holy Ghost will do. He will. Thus saith the Lord. Isaiah said, I am the Lord thy God, which teaches you to profit. You know, everything the Spirit teaches profits. It benefits. In other words, what the Holy Ghost says to us, that'll be what is best. I just feel to stop and say, when I'm talking about this Holy Ghost speaking to us, many times it will come by thought impressions. Sometimes it will come by way of a word from God. And I not only mean over a pulpit, I mean when you are talking to somebody who is a godly, spirit-filled person, and they may speak a word or speak an answer to you, that's the Holy Ghost. That's that God within them speaking through them. And the scripture says, he that hath an ear. He repeats it several times. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says and is saying to the church. One of the reasons I believe he repeated that is not only because he was talking to different churches, but he knew all of us would read those repetitious statements. He might have been trying to tell us there is going to be a continual, consistent speaking of the Holy Ghost. If you need a word from God, he's going to give it to you. Ooh, and I just felt that. That's more than some preacher statement right there. If you need a word from God, the Spirit leads, guides, and governs. And be willing to accept it from whatever receptacle God gives it. I don't want to tell God, hey, if you talk to me, you talk to me through them. You talk to me through this. No, God wants to talk. The Bible says that in the last day, this is good news. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly. In the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. The voice of God is not trembling. The voice of God is not weakening. The voice of God is not muffled. I know there's a whole lot of other voices and noises out in this world, Paul said. But the Spirit in the latter times speaketh directly with clarity. I just feel to put your heart at ease. If you need to hear from God, not only are you going to hear from God, but you're going to hear from him with clarity. And the Holy Ghost is a comforter. The comforter, he said, which is the Holy Ghost. That means one that comes alongside another. I just want to encourage you. The Holy Ghost is there for you 24/7. Please understand me. I know I've tried to qualify this a couple times. We want God in this place. But you know, we spend limited hours in church services. So we need this to be an everyday living experience with God. And I just feel to encourage you that your Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost you have, that just doesn't work when you walk in the door and God plugs in the plug. It's an everyday, 24/7, he's alongside. He's alongside. He's alongside. He said, I come to the aid. Brother Reed, would you help me? Brother Brad, would you help me? Just walk on either side of me. Stay close. Jesus, stay close. God, stay close. Now we're going to go through this narrow spot. But we can do this. This is what the Spirit of God, because he's omnipresent. I had to get two characters. You only need one God. Right? Just stay close. Stay close. The Comforter, one who comes alongside. Then he said, I will not leave you comfortless, and that word comfortless is as orphan. I'm going to be your daddy when you need a daddy. I'm going to be your daddy when you disappoint me. Because He said, the Comforter will be with you forever. He will never leave. He will never forsake. That's the Holy Ghost you have. Stand with me if you would, please. Thank you, man. He's along. He'll comfort you in sorrow. He'll comfort you in the valley of the shadow of death. Would you listen to me just now? Wouldn't you agree that most of our challenges and issues are not so much physical? I know that we have physical needs. And by the way, the Lord's a healer. And my wife needs healing. She had to leave this service, a pinched nerve. She was in severe pain. The Lord's a healer, and He can heal us physically. He can heal us physically. But wouldn't you agree today? Wouldn't you agree that most of our struggle is emotionally and mentally? The weight of that is here today. So you can't see it. Sometimes you can't get a hold of it with your natural hands. But that spiritual, that mental depression, that darkness, or any other kind of emotional upheaval, worry, fear, financial strain, and all of those things. But He's a comforter. And He can heal us body, soul, and mind. And He can comfort. I don't think Steve would mind me saying this. He said, Brother Williford, he said, when I first got that diagnosis, just of cancer, he said, after first, he said, then I started feeling some peace. I mean, Steve has limited time, according to the doctors, 6 months or less, because of that cancer in his body. And I want somebody to pray for Tim and Sandy before their service is out, because they're facing it too. But he said, I felt some ease and I got some peace about that. But he said, then when they gave me that timeline, and he spoke the sentiments of probably all of our hearts, if you found out today, there were 6 months or less. And what chemotherapy they could do, they don't know if it's going to work or not. They don't find out until 2 months in, and if it doesn't work, it shortens the time span. Talk about complex decisions. Here's what I know. Steve Braddy is right there in his hand. He said, so I need some peace. Now that's something you can't go down to Walgreens and get. That's something you can't go to Schnucks and get. That's something you can't go there and get that peace. But He's the comforter. He's the one that comes alongside. He's the one that responds to faith. So if you, I'm going to ask you just to come today. If you need the Holy Ghost for the first time or renewing time, allow the Holy Ghost to work in you. Allow the Holy Ghost to work for you. Allow the Spirit to do. Whether it's protection, if you need some kind of protection. I'm making an appeal for submission today. Submit to the control and the governance of the Holy Ghost. Maybe come praying, God, I want a more insightful and understanding view of Your Spirit, oh Lord. God, I want to understand that it's You when I talk about the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. The Holy Ghost is responding in you as you pray with and pray for others. Or if you're coming to pray for yourself, that's the Holy Ghost. That's the Spirit of God. Yes, God, only You, only You, only You can do these things. Only Your Spirit can do it. Hallelujah. Now I invite us all and I request all over this building, would you pray in the Holy Ghost? You talked about praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit, praying to God, in essence, is what He was saying. God, allow for fresh revelation to do today. Let Your Spirit work to guide into all truth this morning. God, help us to open our lives to receive Your Spirit today. We need You, God. Thank You for everything You have done. Thank You for everything You're going to do in our lives. Thank You. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Yes. It's the Holy Ghost. To be. The bands that I have bound you to me with are strong bands, stronger than all the powers of this world. And I have watched as an enemy has taken out their sword, knife, and scissors, and have tried to cut through that band that binds you to me. But I have bound you to me through the covenant of my Holy Spirit. And there is nothing that can cut through or loosen or separate you and I. You are bound with strength. You are bound by my peace. You are bound by my rightness and righteousness. You belong to me, and my name is upon you. That is why I bind and band you to me, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for the attachment, God. That's right. Let's really receive that word from God. Let's really receive that, Lord. I receive it. I take it. So everything that we are and everything that belongs to us, our home, our family, our marriage, our health is bound to God. Nothing can cut through it or separate us. Praise God. So we're going to stay. We ask Him to stay.